I should be reading from Matthew 20, 29-34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped them and called, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him.
Take that one away. Can you hear me okay? So we're continuing our series on prayer today, and I'm going to be speaking to you today about prayer for healing. As I was preparing for this sermon, I didn't actually realise that I was actually going to be prayed for healing in order to get to this service today. But I got one of these bugs, and Isabella did as well, my daughter. And I was thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to be here. But amazingly, I think people started praying on Friday night, and by Saturday morning, I was fully better again, and so was Isabella. So praise God for that. I'm not going to attempt to answer every question on healing today. Rather, I'm just going to really drill down to what I think are perhaps the pertinent points to inspire us to pray for others and to seek prayer for healing as and when the need arises. We learn most about God's healing power when we actually get stuck in and get involved in praying for others or for receiving, being prepared to receive prayer for healing. And so, you know, you can listen to as many read as many books, listen to as many sermons, and actually that only gets you so far. So it goes without saying, really, that actually I'm very much on a journey on this one in understanding God's healing better. And we're journeying together on this. I don't hold myself out to be an expert, but I'm very happy to share with you today a little bit about what I've learnt so far and some of the experiences I've encountered. So Nathan has already read to you today a story of two healings that's recorded that Jesus did on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's one of the last healings recorded in the book of Matthew. Jesus was travelling to Jerusalem for when he was going to be met by the crowds and who were waving palms on the day we now remember as Palm Sunday. He was on that road making that final journey. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, he was accompanied by a large crowd, as was usual. Jesus had spent the last 3 years showing the way to the Father in a way that was accessible and made sense, and people just wanted to be with him. And two blind men shouted as he went past, and I can't do this as wonderfully as Nathan did, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." We're not told how long they've been blind for, but the chances are they would have been blind from birth. It must have been totally debilitating for them. They couldn't have earned a living except for food by begging, and they'd probably have been heavily reliant on others as well, even to get from place to place. Perhaps they were deliberately by the side of the road that day, waiting for Jesus, as they'd heard that he'd healed many people. Or perhaps it was their usual begging spot. But either way, they knew who Jesus was, and they cried out to him. The response of the crowd was to shut them up. To the community, these two blind men were worthless. They were not worthy of wasting Jesus' time. But they persevered, and they cried out the more, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." In that short sentence, they were saying, "Jesus, you are good. You are the Messiah that's been predicted in the scriptures. You have power over all. Please heal us. Please help us." And like the crowd's view, these men had real value in Jesus' eyes, and he heard them, and he stopped. And he asked what they wanted. "Lord," they said, "we want our sight." The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. Like many other people he had healed, he was saddened about their situation and he wanted to help. And Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately their sight was restored, and they followed him Immediately, with that one encounter from Jesus, their lives were transformed forever. And that's just one of the examples of Jesus healing. In fact, apparently, one quarter of all of the Gospels are on Jesus' healing ministry. Jesus, when you read in the Gospels, he's probably either healing someone, he's come from healing someone, or he's going to heal somebody. So it's obviously an important part of his ministry. Well, I've got 4 points to draw out from this passage, but also from other passages on healing in the Bible. First point then, God heals today. It's clear from the Gospels that Jesus healed people naturally and often as he went from place to place, even when it was of great cost to him. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus often told people who he had healed not to tell others about it. But when they couldn't help themselves and they did tell others, it was then that Jesus had to actually spend quite a lot of his time in isolated places. He couldn't go in as much into the main areas because he was followed so much by the crowds. But even then he was followed, you know, even into the isolated areas, people wanted to be with him and see him. And he was also rebuked by the authorities for healing on a Sabbath. Healing was sometimes costly for Jesus. But he did so regularly because he had compassion on people and because sickness and infirmity were never part of God's plan. And when Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to practice ministry, he knew that though he was not going to be physically present with them forever, he wanted them to practice ministering to others without him. He commanded them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The two went hand in hand and were fundamental. And then finally, the last thing recorded that Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples when he sends them out to preach the good news to everyone, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." So healing is very much for now, as well as for gospel times. Note, he didn't just say that those who are heads of church, or especially holy, or just the disciples, will be able to touch people and pray for them and for those people to be healed. He said those who believe. And that's the amazing thing, that God chooses ordinary people like you and me to touch others and to heal them. How awesome is that? Can I just clarify, though, that actually God uses doctors, nurses, counsellors and psychologists also to heal people, and other professionals, of course. Sometimes we're praying to God, and actually he might want to use those professionals that he puts in our path in order to heal. It brings me on to a short joke, and I will do it, but actually I'm pretty rubbish at jokes, so forgive me for that. But there was a flood, and it was known that this village, this town, was going to be completely submerged in water. And everybody deserted that village, except for the minister of one church, who went up to the top of the tower of his church, and he was waiting there. The last people to leave the village got into their little boat and said, "Look, why aren't you coming with us? Come along now. You know, we can take you in this boat and go." And he said, "No, God's going to save me. I'm going to wait here. God's going to save me." A relief boat came in due course, and again, the people in the boat said, "Come on, God, we can help you. Let's get in the boat and we'll take you." And he said, "No, God's going to save me. I'm not going to be harmed by this flood." And then the final time, a helicopter came and said, "Come on, look, you know, we really need to get you out now. The waters are getting very high." And he said, "No, God's going to save me." Anyway, in the joke, he wasn't saved. And when he was in heaven, he said to God, "God, why didn't you save me? I thought you were going to save me." And he said, "Well, I sent two boats to you and a helicopter. What more can you want?" I think, you know, sometimes we need to realise that actually God does heal through medical professionals. What then should we do first? Do we pray for healing or do we seek medical help? Well, I think that we do both at the same time, because we don't know which way God will intervene. But we must also expect God to heal miraculously. And really, that's what my talk is going to be about today. Second point then, God desires our wholeness. Another important truth is that God's goal for us is to be whole, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. As I've got older, I've come to realise that we all experience brokenness in our lives to some extent. As we go through life, we get battered and bruised and hurt, and this can shape our character, how we view ourselves and our sense of value and worth, our view of our relationships with others, and even our view of God. And neither are bodies infallible either. They get scraped and scratched and damaged and ill along the way too. This was never God's plan for us. Death and sickness crept into this world as a result of the fallen man. So it started off perfect, but our hope is it's also going to end perfect. We're in between times. At the moment, we're in the time between now and not yet. So Jesus has come. He's given us our Holy Spirit. We can see glimpses of the kingdom of God now, but sickness and infirmity are still with us. But when Jesus comes again, then all sickness, death will have lost its sting. There'll be no more sickness or crying or pain, as in that beautiful verse in Revelation 21. We'll be given new, glorious, imperishable bodies, and we'll be free to worship God from an eternity. And that's what he promises to us. If you're struggling in your bodies today, know that God is going to give you an imperishable, glorious body one day. But God sees the whole of us, including those things that others can't detect. Maybe that we're not even aware of ourselves sometimes. And he's aware of the impact that these have in our lives and how they bog us down and sometimes get in the way of our relationship with him. And he has compassion upon us like the blind man by the side of the road. Because God sees the whole of us and our impact and the impact our brokenness is having on us, that's why sometimes God might answer a prayer in a different way. So we think that the biggest issue for us at the moment is this physical symptom, for example. Then we take that to God in prayer, but God can see the whole of us and he can see what's getting in our way. And he wants to focus on that. And so therefore, when we come to ask God for healing, we need to be open to what he might want to do for us when we ask. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he wants the best for us. Thirdly, then, we need to trust God. God always answers prayers for healing in one of three ways. He may heal us immediately, like the two blind men that we heard on the road just outside Jericho. Jesus touched their eyes, and they could instantly see. Or he may heal us gradually. You may go away from being prayed for, and it's only in the days afterwards that you feel that you've been healed. Another example from the Gospels of that is in Mark 8:22-26. Jesus heals a blind man at Bethesda, but he needs to pray twice to do so. The blind man begged Jesus to touch him. Jesus spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him. The man said he can see people like trees. He could see something, but there was a blurred vision. And Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again, and then he could see clearly. The one thing I would say is if you find that God heals someone partially, the likelihood is he'll want to heal them wholly. So keep praying. Keep praying persistently with enthusiasm. We just talked about that example in Mark 8 of a blind man receiving sight. Well, actually, about 18 months ago, when I was at New Wine Conference, I were at a healing workshop as such. There was a chap there who was leading it called Robbie Dawkins. I don't know if you've heard of him before. But he was basically calling people up who had back problems and arranging for people to pray for each other. And at that time, there's a lady from Exeter Network Church, and she and her friends from Exeter Network Church were all there together. And she said she was actually blind. She was registered blind. And she said, "Well, would you mind praying for me?" to her friend sitting next to her. "Would you mind praying for me?" Her friend prayed for her. And she said, well, do you know what? I can see, I don't know if it's my imagination, but I can see some lights. I can see perhaps some of the auditorium lights. And so they got quite encouraged by that. And they got all of their friends from Exeter Network Church out to pray for her. And in doing so, her sight was restored. And she came and reported back to the whole of the conference later that evening. She walked up on stage without her stick. And she was full of joy. And the buzz in the tent also was just really joyous. And I think that's also how God will be feeling at that. Because that lady was blind and now she can see. She was actually applying for a guide dog with her MP. I wonder how that conversation went when she said that she no longer needed to have that guide dog. Thirdly then, I already mentioned he's promised to heal us ultimately and to give us new glorious heavenly bodies. Wheelchairs, medication and pain are going to be left at the gates of heaven, and we are going to be released. And that is our ultimate hope. So then how does God decide which option? His ways are much greater than ours, aren't they? One day we'll understand when we go to be with Jesus, but until then, we may not. Just as a young child, as a parent, you'll make decisions, as a young child, they'll be really hand to mouth. They'll be wanting things for the moment. But as a parent, you might be making long-term decisions for them. So you'll be perhaps taking them to get their inoculations. You might be setting a savings account for them, and so on. A young child will understand that. But in the fullness of time, when they get older, it will become clear. And perhaps in some ways that's what it's like with God. We can't understand everything that's happening at the moment, but one day in the fullness of time, we will. I've read a brilliant book from Max Lucado. It's a really simple book on prayer. I haven't brought it with me, actually, funny enough, today. But if anyone wants to borrow it, then do. It's one that gets you quite excited. It seems to sort of make sense. But it's very short. And he talks about a flight he was taking. And he found out that the pilot was his friend Joe. Joe, he knew, had done loads of piloting in the past. He had loads of experience. He'd encountered every flight disaster, from low fuel to electrical storms. And actually, on that flight, there was a storm. And it was actually quite serious. And there's a lot of turbulence, and people were getting quite stressed out. But Max wasn't stressed, because he knew the pilot and he knew that he was more than up to the job. We know the pilot of the universe. He's above all things and he can be trusted, whatever the outcome. Cry out to him for healing and submit yourself in faith to prayer that God may heal you. There's nothing wrong with being hungry to be touched by God. And so, in the example of the blind men who cried out to God, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, when they were being rebuked by the crowd, they were persistent. Or where, in the example of my lady from Exeter Network Church, they were praying for backs, not eyes, but she was hungry for prayer for her eyes. That's fine. But if he doesn't choose to heal us immediately, then trust him and hand the situation over to him, knowing that he promises to walk with us through our difficulties, to hold us, to give us peace, to give us strength to cope each day. And he'll work with us to make the best of the situation, because God is good. The final and the fourth point is that we should pray for healing regularly and persistently. We're called to pray for the sick, even if we don't, even though we don't have a gift of healing necessarily. Similarly, as we're called to tell people about God, even though we're not evangelists. So it's for everybody. It is for everybody. Remember what Jesus said when he ascended into heaven, that those who believe will pray for the sick and they'll be healed. Prayer changes everything, because it goes up to the person who is above all things and who can change things. And we're God's ambassadors. We're his representatives on this earth. And so we can be confident that God hears us when we petition him on behalf of others. Do we care enough, though, to pray for others? Sometimes there's so much apathy in this world, isn't there? There's so many distractions, and sometimes it's very difficult to lose focus on other people and to focus on yourselves. And at that time, I think we need to pray that God will give us eyes to see people as he does, and for us to have his compassion for people. Because when we have that, we won't fail to pray for people. The more we pray for people, the more we'll see healed. If we don't pray, then we won't see anybody healed. It's logical, isn't it? So then how do we pray for others? There's no set technique involved. We pray with love and simplicity. There are various different techniques used in the Bible by Jesus and his followers. Often there was the laying on of hands, and often the Holy Spirit was invited to touch the person that we're praying for so that the Holy Spirit can minister to them. But there's no set rules. As I say, from a practical perspective, men should be praying with men and women with women. And if you are going to put your hand on someone, then ask them first whether they're happy for you to do so. However, we can be reassured that if we pray with a sincere heart, we cannot mispray. God is so much bigger than our prayers. And so in other churches, for example, I've heard of children being asked to pray for other people and for there to have been that there being healing. Children can make simple prayers to God and healing can take place because it's not the prayer, it's God. He's in charge of the results, and so we shouldn't burden ourselves with responsibility for it. And it's easy to do, isn't it? We pray for somebody and we feel that nothing happens in that moment and we feel awkward and we feel that it's us who've done that, but it's not. It's not our prayer. We leave it to God and we give him responsibility for the results. And even if we pray without a healing taking place, the person who is prayed for usually speaks of the blessing of having been prayed for, as long as it's done with love and sensitivity. One thing that people often say is that they feel a great sense of peace when they're prayed over. Because when we pray for somebody, God meets that person. When we're praying, we're asking God to intervene, to be involved in that person's life, and God's there for that moment. And he's the Prince of Peace. So it's not unusual. It's not surprising that people feel peace, is it, when we pray for them? After coming back from the New Wine Conference, I was really G'd up to pray for anyone and everybody. And we were on holiday in Madeira. And on our coach trip, there was a couple of ladies, and they had bad back problems. And so we got to know them as the week went on. We went on a couple of day trips with them. And a conversation happened. I said, well, shall we pray for your backs? And they said, yes, but it wasn't an appropriate time because we're getting on a bus. Necessarily. So we were just sort of thinking, God, give us the opportunity to pray for these ladies. And in the end, it was a perfect opportunity, but it was probably one of the last opportunities, so I'm grateful for it. It was just this lovely viewing point, and we were with the ladies, and we said, well, can we pray for you then? And they said yes. And we prayed for them both, and honestly, I can't say that they were healed. I can't say that God healed them in that moment. But I asked them, did you feel anything? And they said, I felt a very very strong sense of peace. That's because God had visited them. We had managed to have a further chat to them. I gave them a why Jesus. I told them about Gold Hill Baptist Church, which was around the corner from them. So you don't know what God's doing there in that situation. He's in charge of the results, but maybe he's got something else in mind as we pray for healing. Maybe he's working something else out as we do that. Finally then, we should pray persistently without embarrassment. In the passage in Mark I mentioned earlier, even Jesus prayed twice. So if Jesus prays twice, then maybe we need to pray a few times too, right? Let's not just pray once and get embarrassed and give up, but pray persistently. Sam's going to lead us in a bit of ministry time shortly. But just to wrap up, do you regularly pray for others for healing? If you don't, then maybe make it a personal challenge for you to do so more. Or are you in need of prayer for healing today? Maybe there's something that you're aware of that's just you've been carrying for a long time and you haven't taken it to Jesus. This is a great opportunity for you to do so. Yeah, this sort of picture of, you know, Scrooge, of all of those boxes weighing him down. I think sometimes the stuff that we don't deal with weigh us down. And I'm talking generally now, so but you know, let's take it to God. Let's take things to God rather than carrying them for time and time again and see what he wants us to do with them. If you're not sure about what God might want to do for you, maybe spend some time reflecting on this with God. He's great at gently revealing where we need him to minister to us. But do get prayer if you're really feeling prompted to get prayer today, because we all need prayer regularly. We shouldn't be embarrassed to get it. That's it. Thank you.